Welcome to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is indeed a Monday night and time for Monday Night Lights. Now with Daylight Savings Time, it's the brightest it's been for a Monday Night Lights in a long time. I'm Brad Allen, and today we are brought to you by Blue Bear Jewelry in East Tawas, the Erickson Family Insurance Agency of West Branch, and Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet of East Tawas. Got a few things to hit on today. We'll take a look at where we're at in the boys tournament. They've entered the quarterfinals. Down to 32 teams left in the state playing basketball. They'll start playing tomorrow night. The girls' regional semifinals tipped off a half hour ago at 5:30 with many teams getting their Breslin Center dreams started here in the regionals. And we also had, of course, districts last week. So we will dive into that here in just a couple of minutes. But also, we'll spend a little bit of time today if we have some time at the end. NFL free agency started today. The Lions re-signed a lineman and one lineman got away. And we'll also take a look at the division after Minnesota lost their quarterback. And maybe a little bit of a look at the Tigers as they start to round out into form. They've started their spring training games with opening day just 2 weeks away. So let's start with district basketball, girls district basketball from last week as the Oscoda Owls went into Tawas, and it's only a four-team district. Roscommon played Houghton Lake. Tawas took on Oscoda. Oscoda was able to take care of the Braves, and it all came with a hot start. And here's how it sounded if you missed it last Wednesday. Right side, Gooch again, drives to the short corner. Nothing there. Bounce pass into Backstrom. Backstrom drives and nice. Got it with the foul. Nice. Through the contact.
Nice physicality there, driving her body to the net, getting fouled, but keeping her movement, her momentum. Get that shot up, bounce it right in. Three-point opportunity here.
Herbelsheimer cuts through the lane. Layup gets a soft roll, and that's good.
Nice job there by Herbelsheimer. She had to go through a gauntlet of three defenders to get there, and she laid down the layup.
She'll drive inside. Kick right wing. Gooch for three. Knock it down.
Nothing but nylon there. The pressure for Oscoda right now is smothering.
7 points in the quarter and another turnover off the press into Gooch. Layup is good. And it's 18-2. Whipke penetrates. Nothing there. Kick back out to Michaud. Swings it around to Emily Smith. Emily Smith drives inside. Hop step. Layup is good.
That beautiful hop step cuts the defense. Two girls there defending on it. Gets that bucket. It's going to cause a timeout here from Tawas.
Michaud into Whipke. Whipke up and under. Lays it up. Got it with a foul.
And good job there by Whipke. Forcing the contact. Getting the easy bucket there through it.
Rebound came out to Binder. And here come the Braves. Binder has it left wing. Kick to the corner. Safer to three. Good. That ball is a knuckleball on it. No spin on it. Yet she gets it to go. 10 points on the night for Quinn Safer. And the Oscoda Owls top the Tawas area Braves 39-27.
As you heard in that game, it was 39-27 final score. That doesn't really tell the story of how that game went, as you heard it was 18-2 at one point, and it was 31-9 and at halftime. I mean, it was a blowout at the half. Oscoda made all of one shot in the second half and went absolutely cold and just kind of slowed everything down. At the end of the second quarter, I think their mindset changed because Kingsley Backstrom got hurt with the shoulder injury that would hamper her. It would take her out for the rest of that game and hamper her on Friday in the district final. Emma Michaud had just gotten hit in the face and had to run back to the locker room. So I think they just kind of pulled everything back and went, whoa, we've got to back off here. We're just trying to get to Friday healthy. The game was pretty well in hand By halftime, Taos clawed their way back in. Nice effort by the Taos area Braves. Just couldn't quite get themselves all the way back. And, man, if they could have made just a couple of more shots early on in that game, they could have made that game interesting down the stretch. The Braves weren't far away, and they're a young team. They're not far away from competing over the next couple of years. So that set us up for Friday, because Roscommon took care of business against the Houghton Lake Bobcats and set up Oscoda versus Roscommon on Friday in a back-and-forth contest. One team has control, the other team flips control, and we came back to being very tight at the end. So here's how that one sounded on Friday.
Kaufman looking, Now she'll drive to the free throw line and in. Had that one blocked. But rebound comes down to Nehemiah Carper. Over across to Alexis Carper. Floater on the left block is in. And Roscommon has a 10-9 lead. Zoe Kaufman goes inside. Picked off by Emily Smith. Tried to get it to Carper. Here comes Emma Michaud. Michaud drives into the lane. She'll lay it up and ties the game.
Wow, what a move there. She just dissects the two defenders there.
Back into the press goes Roscommon. They switched it up. It's now more of a 1-2-2. Owl still break it. Whipke, a pull-up right wing. Three, knock it down!
Nothing but nylon there. No defender. They were all on the press.
Kaufman drives in. Euro step right hand, no good. Rebound by Nehemiah Carper, no good. And rebound again by Roscommon. Kylie Traver gets it. Swings it around up top. Alexis Carper, she'll launch the three. Knock it down.
Nice. Two offensive rebounds in the open three to get this game within three.
Free throw is up. No good, but an offensive rebound. Zoe Kaufman. Back up top. Williams to the corner. Kaufman, pump fake, drive, mid-range jumper. Got it with a foul. Oh, what a great shot by Zoe Kaufman. That was one of the more impressive shots I have seen this year. Kaufman, a pump fake, and then falling away. Carper will drive inside. Alexis Carper, turnaround shot. Got it to go from the short corner. What a shot by Alexis Carper. 13.8 left. The Owls need a quick trigger three. Michaud will bring it up. Hand off Whipke. Whipke for three to cut it to three. Good! Inbound to Traver. Traver, throw it away. We got a jump ball. It's Oscoda basketball. It's Oscoda with a chance to tie. Three-point game. Inbound to Gooch. Got to get it up. No good. Roscommon wins Division III District 68 with a 49-46 win over Oscoda.
So much I can break down in this contest. Both teams started pretty slow, trying to pound the ball down low. Oscoda, you could tell, was trying to see how much they could get out of Kingsley Backstrom. And if anybody was there and saw the game, Backstrom had a nice night. But there was probably three, four, maybe even five shots that she missed that I'm almost certain she would have made had been healthy. If she really trusted that right shoulder, and it seemed like she had a lower body injury as well that she was fighting through, she was just extremely tough in that game, even just for playing. So give Kingsley Backstrom all of the credit in the world for stepping up in that moment and at least giving her team whatever she could when they needed her. But there were opportunities there for the Owls that they probably could have taken advantage of with a healthy Kingsley Backstrom. Early on in that game, they're feeling each other up, trying to find out what they have. Second quarter, the Owls kind of take a little bit of control. They seem like they have a lead. Roscommon comes roaring back. And then in the third quarter is when things got out of hand. A 21-9 third quarter by Roscommon, where Oscoda just went cold like they did in the second half against Taos. Roscommon went cold. Couple of turnovers in a row led to Roscommon getting buckets, and all of the energy just flipped to them. They had a great crowd there, by the way. Fantastic crowd from Roscommon, who decided to come by. And Roscommon just kind of blitzed the Owls in that third quarter. Fourth quarter, Roscommon made every mistake that Oscoda could have asked for. Mistakes from a young Roscommon team. How young are we talking? I'm talking they started three sophomores and two freshmen. They didn't start a junior or a senior. That team could have played JV basketball if Roscommon wanted them to. That entire starting lineup could have played JV basketball if Roscommon wanted them to, which they would go undefeated in JV basketball. But, I digress, that Roscommon made mistakes at the end of that game that got Oscoda back into it. That was a 10-point game with a few minutes left. And I was already talking with a few minutes left that, well, Roscommon's going to win their first district title since the 2013-14 season, yada, 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 yada. I'm like, okay, there's no shot clock in high school basketball, so 3.5 minutes, it doesn't matter. As long as they make any free throws, they'll be good. Problem was, they turned the ball over. They threw the basketball away and didn't necessarily make Oscoda have to foul them a bunch. Then they missed free throws and gave Oscoda every chance they had. To where Oscoda had literally 1 second left, and well done by Roscommon. They covered Luella Wipke, who I'm sure that play was designed for. And then just good defense up top on Ava Gooch, who caught it up by the volleyball line, just had to throw it up. They did what they could with 1 second left, right? You're asking to draw up a play to get someone open for a three. So the fact that they even got a shot off is always impressive in those times. These aren't professional coaches who are sitting there thinking all time that, oh, here's what I'm going to do if I need just a catch and shoot. They had to draw that up in a timeout and go, here's what we're going to do. You know that the play's designed for Wipke. That's covered. They go to Gooch. It doesn't work out. All is well. Roscommon's going to take on Elk Rapids today. Elk Rapids, who knocked Oscoda out of the tournament last year. And Roscommon's going to have their hands full. Still, one of the best girls basketball players I've ever seen in Kendall Stanfest is at Elk Rapids. She's leading that team. She's really, really good. We'll see how Roscommon does against them a little bit later today. Another team locally that's playing today are the Miowa Sable Thunderbolts. And so I wanted to take a look at the tournament bracket because this is the last kind of area team that we have left. And Mayo is playing at 7 p.m. today over in Kalkaska. They're going to take on Gaylord St. Mary in a regional semifinal. And so I kind of went through the bracket and was like, okay, how many games can this Mayo team win? Which, by the way, I want to give big-time credit to Coach Christy McGregor because obviously she could have made this very easy. And if you've watched the box scores throughout the year, Mia McGregor is still getting her points, the freshman superstar, still getting her points. But the percentage has decreased. It's still 60-70% for Mayo that Mia McGregor is scoring. But that's okay. That's not 90-95 that you were seeing at the beginning of the year. You're seeing a couple of players really step up at the end of the season and put up double-digit points. So, very well done by Coach Christy McGregor, who could have just said, we're going to win a lot of games just because of Mia. I don't need to necessarily coach up everything else. And instead, she has. You know who you can trust, especially being her daughter, but knowing you can trust Mia to go in and play basketball. She's a Division I college basketball player. She will be. And instead, she is able to focus on the other players on that team, coach them up, get them in a spot where they can play with Mia, and they can succeed. Because I saw that team that didn't have Mia McGregor play against Oscoda and, you know, get beat pretty badly by about 50 points. And that team has continued to grow and grow and grow around Mia McGregor. So I give them a lot of credit for getting even this far and hammering Alcona in the district final, putting up 70 points as a team with Mia McGregor at 44. That's 26 points coming from the other players. Big time credit for how well the coaching staff there has done, Christy and Ty McGregor, with Mayo girls basketball, getting the rest of that team ready to go. It's a young team that's playing, of course, along the freshman, Mia McGregor. So Gaylord St. Mary over in Kalkaska today is who Mayo will take on. Gaylord St. Mary is 16-8. They are not ranked by any means. Mayo is in that others receiving vote portion of the AP poll, the final AP poll a couple of weeks ago. And so Mayo has a good chance of winning. Now, All of these, Mayo could lose today. Once you get to these regionals, obviously you get out of one, a realm of basketball that one, I just don't cover girls basketball as much as I cover boys basketball. And two, I also don't know a lot of these teams when you get out of our area. I can tell you a few things, but for the most part, I'm not going to be able to tell you a ton. So they could lose today, but I can go off the information I have and go, okay, what do I think here? And the thing is, one player, we see it in all sorts of sports in high school, especially Division IV. You're talking smaller schools, Division VII or VIII in football. One player can carry you. Absolutely one player can carry you. So let's say the Mayo, I think they can beat Gaylord St. Mary. All right, that pushes them to the regional final Wednesday at 7 p.m. in Kalkaska. They'll face either Frankfort or Maple City Glen Lake. It looks like that's probably Maple City Glen Lake. They're also in the others receiving votes portion of the AP poll. But can't guarantee that. That's just who it looks like it would probably be, is Maple City Glen Lake. That would be, again, in Kalkaska. That's a team who Mayo has more votes in the AP poll then. So, while albeit I have been told that Maple City Glen Lake is very, very good, I'm saying it's a game they can win. I wouldn't guarantee it. Heck, I wouldn't even guarantee today. But it's a game they can win. So that pushes them to the quarterfinals, which would be at McBain Northern Michigan Christian on March 19th. So that would be next week, Tuesday, 1 week from tomorrow. Mayo would play either Bay City All Saints, Breckenridge, Brethren, or Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. And Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart is the best team in this grouping. They have a team that can, could make they're a top 10 team in girls basketball. That's a team that Mayo might run into. And what would happen is they're going to run into a team that doesn't need to triple or quadruple team Mia. They're going to run into a team that can just double her and keep everybody else covered. And that's where Mayo would run into a problem, is if they find someone who can handle Mia, let's say keep her around 25 to 30 points, just with double teaming, and have 3-on-4 the rest of the way and feel like they can cover that. That is what would end up leading to Mayo might falling late at some point in this tournament, is when they run into a team that can do that. Because again, this is nothing against the teams that are, or the players around Mia. We've seen what happens with this team when they don't have Mia. They don't have the talent level that would be playing in a regional final, regional semifinal, or a quarterfinal. They're going to play some really good teams when they run into somebody who can just double team. Or heck, I mean, if there is someone out there who can just guard Mia McGregor and hold her 25 or 30, then you can essentially mark it down that that'll be the time that Mayo goes down. So Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart would probably be their matchup in the quarterfinal if there's no upsets, but it could be anything. It's high schoolers. Any of these things could happen. Mayo could make it that far. And then the top team left just on their side of the bracket in general is Kingston, who's the number two team in the state. And at Kingston, they would match up with them in the semifinal, which is there's people in Kingston right now who might be listening. We just barely kind of reached that part of the thumb. So hello to those of you who are playing in a regional semifinal today against Ubley in Kindy North Huron, at Kindy North Huron Schools. Mayo, I could see them in a perfect world making it to the semifinals. I wouldn't predict that, but it's in a perfect world. If everything goes extremely well for them, I think they have a real chance to win the regional. I think that's a real chance. Everything after that is gravy. And again, when I say real chance, I mean 50%. I'm saying they have at least a 50-50 shot against Maple City Glen Lake on Wednesday if they beat Gaylord St. Mary today. And then I think their ceiling is probably the semifinal against Kingston. And then we'll see from there. If they can make that happen, if they can beat a team like Kingston, great. We'll see what happens against the team from the top side of the bracket in the finals at the Breslin Center on March 23rd. So that is a look at where we're at with girls basketball right now. We'll take a break. We come back. Let's take a look at where we're at on the boys' side of things and go through the quarterfinals of the boys' MHSAA playoffs. That's coming up next here on WKJC, your power station for sports.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Owis. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry too, plus red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Owis. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Owis wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkaus is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkaus for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Owis. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
This edition of Monday Night Lights is proudly sponsored by the Erickson Family Agency of West Branch. As your local Farm Bureau agency, we are here to service all of your insurance needs. So if you're looking for farm, home, auto, commercial, life insurance, even retirement options, let us provide an individualized plan just for you. Come see me, Jeff Erickson, in downtown West Branch, or call 989-345-0230.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Shop Rogers Family Foods and save. This week, get quality USDA butcher-cut boneless beef shoulder English roast, only $4.99 a pound. And don't forget the delicious crispy crunchy chicken and homemade donuts at Rogers and Oscoda. Shop Rogers Family Foods with the coldest beer cave around, serving you for over 50 years at 5 convenient locations.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the driver who treats the highway like a racetrack and the shoulder like a passing lane. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California, subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving, generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen, 6:23 on the Sunrise side. Just went through where the girls' bracket stands with both Oscoda and with falling to Roscommon and Maya, who plays tonight against Gaylord St. Mary over in Kalkaska. But the boys' basketball side of things, they have reached the final week of boys' basketball as we have... The quarterfinals set. Quarterfinals will be tomorrow. Semifinals will be coming up on Friday with the finals on Saturday. So let's go through each division. We'll talk about just real quick things on each one, like some of the ranked teams that are still alive. And I'll try and predict the champion here for you. Obviously, I'll know a little bit more with the smaller we get up here. So we'll start with the big ones in Division One. Your 8 teams remaining are Orchard Lake St. Mary, Bloomfield Hills Brother Rice, East Lansing, Ann Arbor Huron, Muskegon, Zeeland West, River Rouge, and North Farmington. Orchard Lake St. Mary's is the number one team in the state. They are taking on Bloomfield Hills Brother Rice. East Lansing is number 2, taking on Ann Arbor Huron. Muskegon is number 5, taking on Zeeland West, and North Farmington is number 6, taking on River Rouge. So those games are coming up on, like I said, March 12th. And so the number one team in the state still being alive is a theme that you're not going to see through the rest of this conversation here that we have. But that is setting up a great matchup on Friday in the semifinal at the Breslin Center in East Lansing, where East Lansing could take on Orchard Lake St. Mary's. And then you just see, I think you'd have such a home court advantage for East Lansing that I think they have to be considered the favorite, even though they're technically the number two team in the state. So you know what? Even though they're on the same side of the bracket and they'd have the harder road, I think East Lansing is probably your most likely champion in Division One. I'll take them even over Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Let's go to our friends in Division Two, where the number one team in the state is still alive. That's Grand Rapids Christian. They're taking on the number six team, Grand Rapids Catholic. The number three team in the state, Warren Lincoln in Division Two, will take on Goodrich, who is unranked. And then number eight, Chelsea, is taking on Detroit University Prep, who's unranked. And then two teams that are just outside of the top 10 are Kingsford and Flint Powers Catholic, who will battle as well. So, again, these are March 12th. The first game of the day would be Kingsford against Flint Powers Catholic. And so I think just the way that this is going, I think Warren Lincoln has such a good stretch here and a good spot to be where they will be able to power their way through into the finals. And then, honestly, I really like this Chelsea team. They have so many good players that, honestly, could carry them through. Now, Grand Rapids, Christian does have a player who's going to go play at Michigan, but Chelsea's got a few really good players to watch. So I think that watch out for an upset. Grand Rapids, Christian, obviously the best team here, and Warren Lincoln, a good team to pick on. But I think Grand Rapids, Christian probably wins this title. But watch out for Chelsea, number eight team in the state. Let's move to Division Three. Eight teams remaining in Division number three and in all of these divisions. So, here we have the top two teams in the state are gone. So, we'll have Grand Rapids Covenant taking on Niles Brandywine, who is the tied for third best team in the AP poll. Menominee, who has rolled through teams like Iron Mountain, Painesdale Jeffers, and Elk Rapids on their way here. They'll take on McBain, who is the number six team in the state. Detroit Old Redford will take on Flint Beecher. Jackson Lumen Christie will take on Riverview. Gabriel Richard, who's also tied for third in the state. So watch out here for unranked Flint Beecher to maybe possibly make their way to the final. Flint Beecher, they just know how to win these types of games. A team that who I'm kind of rooting for here is McBain. We've had run-ins with McBain. They're out of that that Highland Conference, who we kind of have some teams that we somewhat cover. Roscommon, Houghton Lake, kind of right near us there. So I'm rooting for McBain out of this stretch here. I think a team to really, really watch for is Riverview Gabriel Richard. If they can get by Jackson Lumen Christie tomorrow afternoon, then I think that you can maybe pencil them in to winning the title. And then lastly, the smallest teams in Division 4. Here, again, the top two teams in the state by AP poll rankings are out, as Crystal Falls Forest Park will take on St. Ignace. Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian will take on St. Joseph Our Lady of the Lakes. Wyoming Tri-Unity is the number three team in the state. Maple City Glen Lake will take on Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. That's number seven Glen Lake versus number four Sacred Heart. And Allen Park Inner City Baptist will take on Kingston. Allen Park Inner City is ranked 10th in the state. So again, team to root for here personally would be Kingston. Kingston down there in the thumb, who we were just talking about a little bit earlier. So obviously we are pulling for our friends there. St. Ignace has the Ingalls kid who can just absolutely shoot the basketball. He can shoot the lights out of it. I expect St. Ignace to make their way into the semifinal, and then we'll see what they do against Wyoming Tri-Unity, as they're good enough to shoot with them. But Wyoming Tri-Unity is also a very, very good basketball team. Maple City Glen Lake will take over Sacred Heart. So that'll set up a champion of probably Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian. That southwest part of the state can play some basketball, no doubt about that. So that is where we stand with the regional, or with the boys quarterfinals. But I want to transition quickly here. No need for a break, but I want to transition quickly here because also starting this week is the Big Ten tournament. The Big Ten tournament on our sister station, Hits FM 103.3 and 94.9 anytime. That, of course, the Michigan State Spartans are playing. So just because we're doing so many brackets today, we're doing so many picks, I figured, why not? Let's go through the Big Ten tournament and let's pick these games and let's pick a bracket here on our way to this upcoming Sunday, which, of course, will be the last game played before the NCAA tournament bracket is revealed on Selection Sunday. It's a great week. It really is. Love it. When these teams get playing in conference tournament week, I don't watch a ton of regular season college basketball, but man, when these tournaments kick up, you can just feel, it's just so different. The game is just different when these tournaments pick up. So let's go through it here. Locally, our Big Ten teams, Michigan is the number 14 seed out of 14 teams. They are the last place team in the Big Ten. Michigan State, they are the 8 seed. They earned a single bye in the tournament. We'll go through. The games are listed in order. We'll go through them here in that order, and you can follow along. Pull up a Big Ten tournament bracket, and let me know who your champion is. Who do you think wins the Big Ten tournament? You can text it to me, 989-362-3417. Do you have a big upset in the Big Ten tournament? Is it Michigan State possibly beating Purdue if they can get by Minnesota? How far does a team like Ohio State go? Does anybody go all the way from Wednesday all the way through the tournament? That would be Michigan, Penn State, Rutgers, or Maryland. Do one of them do that? Text 989-362-3417. Who you have winning the Big Ten tournament, or if you have a big upset in this tournament, let me know. So the first game of the tournament will be Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern as Rutgers will battle Maryland. These games are only on Peacock. These first games coming up on Wednesday, Rutgers against Maryland. I just like Steve Peichel. I think he's a good coach. I think Rutgers beats Maryland and moves on to play Wisconsin. Michigan against Penn State. It'll be 25 minutes after the 6:30 game. So it'll be a pretty late tip, close to 9 o'clock by the time they actually get that tipped off. Michigan's just not, I love Michigan. You know, it's my team, it's my school. Hope they enjoyed the football season, because I think basketball season comes to a close against Penn State. Penn State will move on to play Indiana in the second round. Game number 3 of the tournament. Tune in to our sister station, Hits FM, 103.3 and 94.9 at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday, as the Michigan State Spartans battle the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Michigan State number 8 in this tournament. Minnesota is number 9. You know Michigan State wants retribution for that blown loss game they just absolutely threw up on themselves against Minnesota back in the middle of the season, where they blew a double-digit second-half lead. Michigan State will top Minnesota and move on to play the number 1 seed Purdue. Then I had number 13 Rutgers winning, so they're going to take on number 5 Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin beats them there. First kind of upset of the tournament here, I have Ohio State over Iowa. I think Ohio State, with their scoring, I think they're really, really good. That'll be game number 5. It'll be at 6:30 p.m. And all of the second day games, and second and third day, they're all on Big Ten Network, for those of you who are looking where to watch these. Ohio State will top Iowa, and then I have Indiana topping Penn State. So that leaves my teams remaining is number 8 Michigan State, number 1 Purdue, number 5 Wisconsin, number 4 Northwestern, number 10 Ohio State, number 2 Illinois, number 6 Indiana, and number 3 Nebraska. I like Michigan State, and they played really well against Purdue this past Saturday, but they're not going to beat, or last Saturday, I should say, they're not going to beat Purdue in this tournament. Purdue finds a way to win in the Big Ten tournament, only to throw it all away in the NCAA tournament at some point. So I do think Purdue does beat Michigan State. Michigan State will play them tough, but I do think Michigan State's season ends on Friday against the Purdue Boilermakers. Next game, which, by the way, on Friday, that would be a noon tip-off against Purdue, and you can catch that on our sister station, Hits FM. Wisconsin versus Northwestern is what I have in game number 7. I think Wisconsin beats Northwestern. I kind of like this Wisconsin team. There's going to be a theme of that here in a minute. I think Wisconsin does beat Northwestern. I think Illinois beats Ohio State in a close game. I think that game will be closer than people think. That's number 10, Ohio State. And I think Iowa beats, or excuse me, I keep calling them Iowa. I think Indiana beats Nebraska. I just don't see it with Nebraska. I'm glad they had a good season, but I think the first game they play in this tournament, Indiana will be feeling hot after winning on Wednesday. Or excuse me, on Thursday, they'll win on Friday as well. So that sets up my final four of the Big Ten tournament. I think will be Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. I think Wisconsin beats Purdue. They can match their size. You can't match the size of Zach Edey, but they can contend with the size. They can shoot with them. I like this Wisconsin team. I think that they're pretty good. When you have three players scoring in double digits like they do with A.J. Stewart, Tyler Wall, Stephen Crowell, I also like Max Klesman. I like Connor Asesian. I think they have good players that I think can lead to them having success in this tournament. I think Wisconsin does beat Purdue. I think Illinois beats Indiana, which sets up on Sunday that 3:30 game right before the NCAA tournament is revealed. I think Illinois does, though, beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament. We'll see how well I do. We'll see how out of the 13 games of this tournament, how many of these I actually get right. You think picking a perfect bracket in the NCAA tournament is hard? We'll see how I do with this one. So I think Illinois wins the Big Ten tournament, but for Michigan State's sake, because Michigan's not even worth talking about, they're going to lose to Penn State. But Michigan State, I think they can beat Minnesota. I think they'll be able to compete. They ran into not Max Christie, but his brother who plays at Minnesota. They ran into him on that day in Minnesota where he shot the lights out. I think Michigan State will be able to answer it. This is Tom Izzo's time. They're just going to run into, unfortunately, coming up on Friday, a Purdue team that I think is a little bit laser-focused. A lot of guys back from last year. They're focused on trying to not have last year happen again, or the last 5 years happen again. So I do think Michigan State will end their season on Friday. But that doesn't mean that I think that there's anything necessarily wrong with MSU. But that should be enough for them to make the NCAA tournament. It should be good enough if they're able to win one game in the conference tournament. It should be enough for them to make the NCAA tournament. I don't see any reason why a loss to a top Purdue would cost them at all. If they beat Purdue, they're definitely in. I mean, that's one way to think. I know they've been kind of on the bubble. Most people have them in. Almost everybody has them in. But the only way they'd be out, I think, is if they lose to Minnesota. And you look at their last two games, losses to Indiana and Minnesota. People might kind of take them on the outside. But I think that they will at least make their way in. And because their metrics are just too good. I think their net ranking is like 20-something. So net ranking as them is one of the 20-something best teams in the country. And when they're on, they can be. And last year I came in here right around this time and I said, man, MSU could make a Final Four. I said, I really think MSU is good enough to do that. And this team really isn't that different, but I just can't get behind it this year. This team seems off this year. They're way too inconsistent. They don't rebound like you expect a Tom Izzo team to do. They don't run like you expect a Tom Izzo team to do. You don't see those three-quarter court passes that you would see out of MSU in previous years. So they get a rebound, turn around, and somebody's already at the other end for a tough layup, and they would make it, or they get fouled, or you know, get the and one, which of course send the Izzone crazy. All of those things you don't see from this team. You don't see that. And that's where I think they're going to fall just a little short, maybe of even people's expectations of them come March, because I think everybody is going to have Michigan State circled on their NCAA tournament bracket as a team who is, oh, well, just, you know, I'm going to be the smart guy. I'm going to say MSU is going to win their first two games and make a Sweet 16. And they're good enough to when they're on. But you just don't know when they're going to be on. If they face just kind of a tough, nasty team in the NCAA tournament, they're going to get beat. If they can play someone who's just a little bit more finesse, they might not get beat. But I don't see it out of MSU this year. I hope they do. I hope they prove me wrong, and I hope that Izzo wins a national title and then maybe just retires for carrying this team to a national title. But I just don't see that type of thing happening. We'll take a break. 6:39 here. It's Monday Night Lights. Feel free to get your text in, 989-362-3417. If you have thoughts on the Big Ten tournament, thoughts on MSU, thoughts on the Lions, free agency open today. Is there anything that you want them to do? Because we're going to talk about that next here on WKJC, your power station for sports.
If you're looking for a new or used vehicle, stop by Fernelius Chevrolet and let their starting lineup help you out.
Stay Young Gun Wilson.
Don't airball this slam dunk of a deal today. Come on in, check out our open court full of pre-owned Equinoxes. They're all priced to go under $20K and up.
Joe, the closer, Lewis.
Talk about March Madness. How about 0.9% interest rate on all Chevy 1500 pickup trucks? Now that's a three-point shot for sure.
Chad, White Shoes Wilson.
No fouling going on the lot here. Nothing but net at Fernelius Chevrolet. Free door-to-door service, free special financing, home of the lifetime powertrain warranty, and we're always paying top dollars on trade-ins. If you don't want to trade your vehicle in, we'll pay you cash on the spot.
Stop in to Fernelius Chevrolet at the light on M33 in Rose City. Call today at 989-685-2401 or see them online at FerneliusChevy.com.
Mark your calendars for the exclusive Gabriel & Company Trunk Show, hosted by Branham's Jewelry on March 28th and 29th. Join us at the East Towis location on March 28th or the West Branch location on March 29th. Explore an unparalleled collection of exquisite necklaces, earrings, bracelets, and rings. From timeless classics that never go out of style to the latest trends that are turning heads, Gabriel & Company has something for everyone. And here's something to make your visit even more special. Up to 18 months of instant financing is available for your purchases. Don't miss your chance to win when you make and keep an appointment for this event. Plus, save a stunning 20% on all Gabriel merchandise during this trunk show. Mark your calendars now. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to add some sparkle to your life with Gabriel & Company at Branham's Jewelry, March 28th and 29th.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the driver who treats the highway like a racetrack and the shoulder like a passing lane. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California, subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving, generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
.643 on the Sunrise side, and football season just never ends, does it? There's always something to be thinking about football season-wise. It is nice as a Lions fan to not be 100% focused on mock drafts at this point of the season. Instead, focusing on where can this team add legitimate talent to help them win, the Detroit Lions. And they just did. Just about a half hour ago, they added Carlton Davis, a corner from Tampa Bay, in a trade. And the trade is pretty fair, let me tell you. As the Buccaneers will send the Lions a corner in Carlton Davis, and then 2 sixth-round picks, one this year and one next year. And the Lions are going to send their one of their third-round picks for this year. That's it. They still will have a third-round pick this year. They'll have a first, a second, and a third now. This is as easy of a move as I can think. That is a great deal for the Lions. I'm not saying Davis is a great corner. He's fine. He's good. Which right now, that's what the Lions need, is just good. But when you have an excess of third-round picks, having two, and let's face it, the Lions roster is getting to a point now where a third-round pick doesn't necessarily mean they're even going to play. Instead, they're going to bring in a legitimate corner with that third-round pick, let the Buccaneers take a chance on somebody with that pick that'll be like 85 to 95, somewhere in there. It's one of those, I don't know which of the two third-round picks the Lions sent. But it's going to be at the back end of the third round, so almost a fourth-round pick. And they get two sixth-round picks, which this team has done okay with late-round draft picks. That's a fantastic move. Absolutely fantastic. This is the type of winning moves I want. The moves that I don't want are the really splashy ones. Not going and getting some guy who everybody knows who he is. Just going and getting a good football player to be on the Lions. And I really like the way this team is being built, and it continues from earlier today when the Lions decided to bring back Graham Glasgow on a 3-year, $20 million deal, which is extremely fair for a good guard in the NFL. That's an extremely fair deal at a, was it, $6.75 billion a year? And they let a Pro Bowl left guard in Jonah Jackson go. Now, so that means they have a hole on the offensive line that they have to fill, right? They're going to have to plug in an offensive lineman now to keep, you know, that's the strength of the Lions. But Jonah Jackson was given something on the lines. I think it was a 2-year, $34 million deal, something like that, with the Rams. 3-year, $34 million, way higher than what they gave Graham Glasgow. And Graham Glasgow is not twice as bad as Jonah Jackson. That is Brad Holmes knowing the market for what. You can replace a guard in the draft. You can do it. They can fill in with a guard. This offensive line is really good. They can plug it, want it. It started, they were starting different guards at the end of last year, and we're doing just fine. This is why you have this draft. Because when it comes up time, when you're a good football team, you got to let good players go because there just isn't enough money for everybody. And Jonah Jackson is a guy who you have to let him go. You just have to. And I'm not sure previous regimes would have done this. They probably would have made him one of the highest paid guards in the league instead and tried to keep him. And instead, the Lions are going, we have two anchors, three anchors on the offensive line. Frank Ragnow is one of the highest paid centers in the league. Taylor Decker, who's a solidly paid left tackle in the league, as he should be. And Penei Sewell, still on his rookie contract, will one day become the highest paid right tackle in the league. The Lions will give him a ton of money, and he'll deserve it. They bring back Graham Glasgow to play right guard on a solid deal. Now they've got a whole left guard. That sounds like a great start to an offensive line for me when they have a draft coming up. Jonah Jackson isn't that good. Jonah Jackson isn't that important. I think that's home run to pick Glasgow over Jonah Jackson and save the money and spend it somewhere else, like on another wide receiver, on another corner, on another pass rusher. They brought in Marcus Davenport today. That's a one-year deal, a show-it deal. It's a guy who has talent, but has never really lived up to the hype, so we'll see how it does. He'll be a rotation piece. He's not anything crazy. The Lions are being built the correct way, and that's what today tells me, because this Carlton Davis trade will not make headlines nationally. It won't be a top 10 story of free agency today on NFL Network or SportsCenter. Won't even be a top 10. And yet, it's a good, solid football move. That tells me the Lions are being built 100% correctly. If you're stacking good, solid football moves, we'll see how the draft goes at the end of next month in 6-7 weeks. We'll see how that goes, and we'll see where this team is at. Because the division just got worse. Green Bay is still going to be a team to contend with, right? Almost had the NFC Championship game against Green Bay last year. The Lions are going to walk in as a favorite. Green Bay is going to be right behind them, and some teams will say Green Bay's better than Detroit, and that's okay. Don't get mad at people who say Green Bay's better than Detroit. Green Bay's good. They're a good football team. And we want the Lions to not be a heavy, far and away favorite because I want them to be tested during the regular season. But the division just got worse because Minnesota doesn't have Kirk Cousins anymore. He signed with Atlanta today. So we now have Minnesota without a quarterback within the division of the Lions. The Bears are going to be bringing in a rookie quarterback. They're going to bring it, draft Caleb Williams, and we'll see what happens. The Lions are in such a good spot right now if they can just have a good offseason and not waste all their money. Especially because they have two young cornerstones who haven't been paid. Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson are going to cost a ton of money in the next few years, and they're going to earn it. So why make some stupid deals when they can just do this and add Carlton Davis, a legitimate NFL corner, for a third-round pick, one of the two that they had? That's a great deal. Now, please don't overpay in free agency for an edge rusher. Don't overpay for Danielle Hunter. If you get Danielle Hunter on a good deal, I'm all for it. I like Danielle Hunter, and I want him on the Lions. I don't want to pay $25 million a year. They pay him $21 million a year? Great. Less than that, even better. But don't pay him $25 or more per year. And this team, I will still say, is rolling in the next season. One last break. We'll wrap it up next.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry too, plus red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkaus is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkaus for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. We've helped over 30,000 families out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. If your timeshare agreement goes on forever, if you were told timeshares are a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, you have questions, we have the answers. At Wesley Financial Group, we're dedicated to helping timeshare owners get out of their financial nightmare. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call now for your free timeshare exit information kit. Call 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000. 800-761-0000.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Culligan says 8 glasses of water a day is only good if your water is too. So Culligan of West Branch invites you to try a Culligan drinking water system for only $9.95 a month for 3 months. During that time, you and your family will experience the difference a Culligan drinking water system will make compared with what you were drinking previously. Make your 8 glasses of water a day good ones with a Culligan drinking water system, only $9.95 a month for 3 months. Call 800-532-9030 for Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Ready to wrap it up here. Just about 5 minutes left. in Monday Night Lights. Scores are starting to come in the girls' regional semifinals. There's been a couple in pretty much each division that have trickled in as games that have gotten over relatively quickly due to large scoring margins, getting the games over with. So just ones to pass along. Grand Blanc Top Towel 44-39 in Division One. That's the only score in Division One right now. That's a score that was relatively expected. And then moving into Division Two here, and we're going to work our way up to hopefully we'll have a score posted at some point here in a Division Four matchup. But that, of course, we're looking at with a mile playing in the regionals. Flint Powers Catholic topped Alma 71-47 in Division Two. Goodrich crushed Armada 65-26. Vicksburg over Stevensville Lakeshore 61-23. Tecumseh over Parma Western 61-48. Ann Arbor Father Gabriel Richard topped Redford Westfield Prep 70-28. All those teams moving to regional finals on Wednesday in Division Two. Moving to Division Three, these are the 5:30 games that have been playing today, playing this afternoon in regional semifinals in girls basketball in Division Three. I'm seeing that one score here that Ypsilanti Arbor Prep topped Ellen Park Cabrini 62-20. We'll see if any other scores here have come in Division Three. Nope, that's the only one in Division Three. And then lastly, in Division Four, and it does make sense that as we go to smaller divisions, because there's just usually less people at these games, there's less coverage of these games, that usually these scores do come in a little bit later than some of our other ones. Because in Division Four, we have one within Mayo's division here, Mayo's region. As if Mayo were to win today, I mentioned that Maple City Glen Lake was a team I was told to watch out for. Well, Maple City Glen Lake just lost in the regional semifinal to an unranked Frankfurt team. So if Mayo were to win today over Gaylord St. Mary in a game that will start probably in almost exactly 20 minutes, Mayo will play against Frankfurt. Glad able to check that right before we've wrapped up here. One other score in Division Four is Allen Park Inner City top Lutheran Westland 59-38, but a 45-42 win Frankfurt over Maple City Glen Lake. So Mayo, if they win today, they will take on Gaylord St. Mary, or they would take on Frankfurt. If Mayo were to beat Gaylord St. Mary, they'll take on Frankfurt on Wednesday at 7 p.m. in Kalkaska. So that's something to keep your eye on. All right, let's wrap up with this. Just real quick, I've been paying attention to the Tigers spring training, and it's spring training. There's not a lot to necessarily talk about, right? It's not, don't get over it. I don't even look at the scores of games. I could not tell you what the Tigers' record is in spring training. I don't know. What I care about is who are the five starting pitchers who are actually going to make the team. Because there's six that have a legitimate shot, maybe seven, but six that have a legitimate shot. Who are the starting pitchers that are going to make the team? We know that it's going to be Tarek Skubal. We know it'll be Kenta Maeda. We know it'll be Jack Flaherty. And then we're almost certain Casey Mize. He was a 1-1. He was a first-round pick. He's going to be a guy. Who gets that fifth spot? Matt Manning? Sawyer Gibson-Long? Reese Olson? And if you go by this spring, it's Reese Olson. Reese Olson's pitching like his hair is on fire. He's been great in this spring training. If Reese Olson can pitch anything like he's been pitching these last couple of weeks in the regular season, the Tigers will have one of the better starting rotations in baseball. Olson will be a number like three starter for them, behind Skubal and Kenta Maeda. I legitimately believe that. They're that close. And Baez, Javier Baez, who everybody wanted to see his swing changes, it doesn't seem like it's happening. I love Javi Baez. I was a huge fan of him growing up when he was on the Cubs. Of course, you know, with my dad and my brother being huge Cubs fans, I saw Javi Baez a lot and really loved the way he played. So I still love him. He's still, you know, my Tiger. We don't really do that anymore, but my Tiger, it just isn't working out at all. That's Monday Night Lights. I'll talk to you guys back in the regular shift tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen. Tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.